It's the height of the Miraglim. Everyone is standing around and talking about what they saw. The Miraglim are carrying huge fruit, the grapes, 8 people carrying one cluster of grapes. All of Klal Yisrael standing around, and they heard the Miraglim say, "This land is not a land that we can possibly live here. We need to have a different plan. If we end up in Eretz Yisrael, we are all going to die." And then Kalev, one of the Miraglim, gets up and quieted them all down, and he says, "Let's see, let's hear what Moshe Rabbeinu has to say." And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Don't be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has been with us throughout all of our journeys, is with us now. He will fight for us, like he did in Mitzrayim. There's nothing to worry about." And then Kalev answered to the world, his words, Moshe Rabbeinu's words, and Kalev said, "Alayna aleh, let's go up. V'yarashnu eisa, we will be able to inherit it. Ki yachal nuchala, because we are going to be capable of doing it. It's true what Moshe Rabbeinu says. This is possible. We're going to have it. We're going to get it. We're going to be successful." And the Sfarna asks, how was Kalev allowed to do this? The Rambam says that if there's an argument going on and your Rebbe says something, you're not allowed to support your Rebbe. Meaning that if your Rebbe is arguing with someone, you can't jump in and say, "I think Rebbe is right." The Chaye Adam explains that you can't do this because then you're turning yourself into the judge and jury for your Rebbe, as if my Rebbe needs my support and I'll be the deciding factor of if the Rebbe is right. It's not up to you to decide. The Rebbe doesn't need your support. So how could Kalev jump in and say something? Moshe Rabbeinu was talking. Why did he say something? The only time you're allowed to jump in is when you have information that the Rebbe doesn't have, and you're bringing an extra proof to what he is saying. Then you're allowed to speak up, which is what happens here. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convince them, but Kalev says, "I was there. I saw the Nisim that happened the whole time. I saw how the people were busy with their funerals and burials so that they didn't pay attention to us. I was there and saw how everyone is scared of the Jews. I saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us there and will continue to do so. We just have to go and the land will be ours." Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking philosophically and Kalev is speaking practically. "I was there. I saw it." So too, says Rav Bunim. In Slichos we say, he who answered Avraham Avinu on Har Moriah, he should answer us too. And Misha Ana Li Yitzchok B'Nayel HaMizbeach, and he who answered, he HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Yitzchok when he was on the Mizbeach, Hu Ya'anenu, he should answer us. And Rav Bunim Ipshischa says, we should add our own specific addition. Not only did Hashem help Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov and Daniel and Yosef HaTzadik, He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has answered me in the past, and he has taken care of me in the past. And then think of a specific situation where he did a small practical something that happened to me. I always have to be on the lookout for the Hashgacha that helps us. And with that, I'll bring an extra proof to what we say in the Slichas. It's not just theoretical. It's not just past history. It's me. I know this for myself. He who has helped me in the past, he will continue to help us. We say it in our tefillas. Adheina azarunu rachamecha v'lay azavnu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have helped us in the past, your rachamim with your rachamim, and you have not abandoned v'lay azavunu chasadecha, and your chesed has not abandoned us. V'al titshenu Hashem elokeinu lenetzach. And because I've experienced it, I know that he's helped me in the past, and I've seen that he's helped me in the past, and his chasadim have never left me. That's how I can continue to daven and to know with full confidence, V'al titshenu Hashem elokeinu lenetzach. The more we look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our daily lives, the more we will see him and the more chizuk we will have to hold on to when we need it. The big miracles are important to mention, but it's the small day-to-day involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives which keeps us going. And this too is connected to our parsha, because the mistake that the Miraglim made was that they didn't want to leave the miraculous world of the Midbar. How could they survive without the big daily Nisim? They were like a child in his mother's womb. There's work, everything that happened in the Midbar, all done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Gan Eden. Mon is near the door. The Be'er Shel Miriam. The Anane HaKavod. Whatever you want. Clothing never needs to be bought or cleaned. You have plenty of money. You sit all day and learn Torah. What could be better? And now they are going into Eretz Yisrael. And this generation, or they were supposed to be going into Eretz Yisrael, this generation will have to work hard. And this is exactly what the Meraglim didn't want. The Meraglim were great people. They were Kulam Anashim. They were all great people. They were leaders. How is it possible that they came back, and not just that they spoke Lashon Hara against the land, it was much more than that. It was the chait, they caused the chait that keeps us in the Midbar for the next 38 years, preventing Moshe Rabbeinu from coming into Eretz Yisrael, gave us Klal Yisrael, Bechiya Shel Doros, a reason to cry for generations. They're the cause of Klal Yisrael showing an utter lack of emunah. How did this happen? Where was their mistake? They were good people. But they didn't want to leave the womb. They wanted to stay. They needed the big Nisim. That's what they were familiar with. That's what had been. And they couldn't imagine living as Torah Jews in a world of nature, where of course Hashem is there, but it's so much harder to see and feel Him. And perhaps this is why they got their unique punishment. Whereas the punishment for the nation as a whole was over the next 3+ decades, almost 4 decades, they would die as soon as they hit their 60th birthday. The Meraglim had a horrible death. The 10 Meraglim, not Yehoshua and Kalev, of course, but the 10 Meraglim have a horrible death. They died b'magefa lefnei Hashem. And Rashi says, in a magefa that is hagunalahem, that is fitting for them, mida keneged mida, they sinned with their tongues, and their tongues got swollen and hung out until their navel, until their belly buttons, and tola'im and worms were crawling out of their lung, out of their tongues and going into their navel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives consequences, mida keneged mida. And the tongue stretching out is of course keneged the fact that they spoke Lashon Hara. But why does it go to their tabor? Why does it go to their navel? And perhaps it's because this symbolizes their state. Of course, the navel is our connection to the womb, our initial connection to our mother's womb. And this is what they wanted. They wanted to stay safe and sound in the womb. But it's not good for a child to stay in the womb forever. A child has to come out of the womb, and a child has to grow and develop into an infant, a baby, a toddler, and eventually an adult. Only a very sick baby stays in the incubator forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them, it was time for you to grow up, and you didn't see it. The Sfas Emes quotes a Chazal, what was happening by the Meraglim is a mashal to a hen who lays an egg. First the chick comes out and eats the yolk of its egg, and after a day the chick is hungry and the hen gives him some seeds, some insects, and after a couple of days the hen shows the chick how to do it on his own. After 2 weeks the chick comes to the mother and says, I want to eat. The hen sends him out of the coop with a patch. She's already laying another egg. This chick is already independent. The Dardea wanted to stay where all the hard work was going to be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In next week's parsha, we see this defined. Dasan and Aviram will likewise complain, and they say, "Hamaat ki ha'elisanu me'eretz zavas chalav udvash." Of course, the ultimate chutzpah to turn back to Mitzrayim and say, "Is it not enough that you took us out of an eretz zavas chalav udvash?" Mitzrayim was not a haven for them, but they said it. Hashem, you took us out of a beautiful land, lahamisenu b'midbar, to make us all die in the midbar. Af loyal eretz zavas chalav udvash haveisanu. You're not taking us to an eretz zavas chalav udvash. Vatitein lanu nachlas sada vakerem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're giving us a land where we're going to have to plant, and we're going to have to plow, and we're going to have to plant wheat, and we're going to have to plant grapes. We're going to a land where we're going to have to work so hard. And where are we going to find you? How are we going to see you? Yehoshua and Kalev tried to calm them down. Klal Yisrael you're not going to be Dor HaMidbar, and you're not going to live like Malachim. You're not going to live a life of angels anymore. You are going to live in a land and work the land. And yes, you will have the temptations of the land. And it's true. There will be dangers, the inherent dangers in physicality. You're going to live on the land. There's no natural boundaries. You can quickly go from Dardea to the level of Canaan, but you can also grow. Because Avodas Hashem means being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim down here on earth. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you have to be strong. You will have to find the inner strength to do the right thing, not to fall into the physicality, but to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural world without the big nisim. And of course, this is our lives. We're living a very mundane world that seems to be run by the rules of nature. And it's our task to be able to look around us and notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us, is here with me, every single step along the way. And then I can become like Kalev and proclaim, Misha Anali, he who answered me in the past, who Ya'aneni, he will continue to answer me in the future.